Good morning, church. How you guys doing this morning? Good? All right, so let's bow our heads in prayer, and then we'll share a thank you card that I have here for the church. So, God, thank you so much for bringing us here this morning, Father, safely, and I just pray, God, that our hearts will just be so excited to hear the word this morning, God. I just pray, Father, that our hearts are open to what the Bible has to say, God, that we're going to be encouraged by your words this morning, God. We're going to be lifted up. We're going to be inspired. God, I just pray that you can use me powerfully. God, help me to not put in my own opinions or ideas or thoughts, but God, that I just share what you have put on my heart, God. And I pray that be with everyone who's just leading the prayer request that we prayed for this morning, God. I just pray that you're already working powerfully to set up, you know, different, you know, areas in their lives that will make these prayers come true, Father. Father, we love you so much, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So before I start, I have a thank you card, and it's from the Figueroas. And they wanted this, and this is what they said: I want to thank my family of believers for the outpouring of love, food, and phone calls and prayers and support for us. It means so much to us as we deal with the absence of our cousin. You're appreciated more than you'll ever know. And so they wanted to thank you guys so much for all the prayers and encouragement they've gotten from you guys. See, I just love being part of this church. It's just like, people are just so grateful, and people are just willing to serve and help people in the most difficult of situations. That's why I'm so excited to call you guys my family. Yeah, you guys can clap for that. That's great. And so the title of my lesson this morning is I Will Come Back. Not me. Jesus. All right? Jesus, I'll be back to church every Sunday, all right? But Jesus says, I will come back. So we're going to be talking about that this morning. But I just want to share also some good news from the campus ministry. And so all of New York has been really seeing God move powerfully. And so this semester, this fall semester, we got to see over 20 campus students baptized into Christ this semester so far. And it's so encouraging what God is doing on our college campuses. And there's still more time left. You know, there's finals next week. And there's still students that can really get a chance to get to know Jesus. That we believe that there's no test, there's no exam, there's no studying that's going to get in the way of that. Amen. So God is working. So let's turn our Bibles over to John chapter 14, and we'll be starting there. In verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. The Bible says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. So what's amazing about this passage, Jesus has this promise that I have a room prepared for you in heaven. I have no idea what that room is going to look like. I have no idea where it's going to be. The fifth floor, I don't know what's going to be at the, you know, in a building or a house. I don't know what it's going to look like. But all I know is that it's in heaven, and I'm excited about it. Are you guys excited about that? Is that Jesus is promising that he's going to come back to take us home in heaven. That you don't have to worry. You don't have your hearts to be troubled. I'll be back to bring you home with me. You know, I can remember being a young boy, about 7 years old, and I'm a grandparents' boy. I love abuelo and abuela. I love, you know, my grandfather and my grandmother. And every weekend, they would come pick me up to bring me to their house. And they would just spoil me. I mean, they'll give me anything I wanted. You know, I even memorized all the routes to the toy store. Yeah, I would just look at the signs and go, all right, we're going to Toy R Us today because this is exactly... like, they just took care of me, and I love them so much. But they always promised me that we'll be back next Saturday. We'll be back next Saturday to pick you up, and we'll give you whatever you want. We'll feed you. We'll do all that. And so I just love my grandparents. So amen to the grandparents in the house. Just saying. But they promised me all the time that they will be back. And so there's some people that promise you that they'll be back, that you want them to promise. And then there's people that promise that they'll come back that you don't want them to promise that they'll come back, all right? And so, for example, you know, we go to restaurants and we order food, right? And so when your waiter comes back and he says, all right, I got your drinks, I'll be right back with your food. If they made that promise, you want them to fulfill that promise, right? You want them to bring your food. You know, when you bring a friend to church or you bring a friend to Bible talk and they're like, yo, I was so fired up at church. And they're like, you know what? I'm coming back next week. I'm coming back. I'm being committed to this. You're gonna be like, yeah, right? You're going to be excited. And then you're going to make sure they hold on to that promise, right? And you're excited about that promise. But then there's other promises people make that you don't want to happen, right? For example, I do not like going to the dentist, okay? That's like one of the most, I get scared. Like, I just, hearing all those machines in my mouth and all that stuff going on, I don't even know what they be using, but it just feels sharp and painful. But when the dentist says, all right, we need to finish up next week. Can you come next week? You know, and they're just like, I'm like, no, I'm not trying to come back. I just want to come one time and that's it. Get it done. Get it over with, right? There's also people like, for example, if a robber came into your house and stole something, right? And you see them running out of your house with your stuff and they just look back at you and they go, I'm coming back. You know, that is something you don't want someone to promise to come back. You know, and also there's, for some of us who work in retail or sales or anything, right, there's that one customer that, you know, they're complaining about a product, they're trying to return it past the return policy thing, and there's nothing you can do for them, and then you know what, there's no manager in today, I'm coming back tomorrow, I'm going to deal with this. And then you check your schedule to see if you're working tomorrow, like, because you don't want to deal with that, right? So they're promising to come back and give you more complaints. And last but not least, and no offense to anyone who works at this place, but the DMV. Okay, this, the Motor Vehicle Commission, all right? There's always that one person that just put their glasses down like this. So, we see that you don't have all your 6 points. I'm sorry, but we can't help you today. You got to go back and get your Social Security card. Oh, as a matter of fact, I'm sorry. You got to get your proof of address. Wow, you're missing a lot of stuff here. How long you waited on this line? 2 hours? I'm so sorry. You can come back tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? There's always that one person that's just like, what is going on? And now they're telling you, all right, you need to come back. And it's like not the most pleasing thing, right? And so that's what can happen in life, right? There's people that promise that they're going to come back, that we want them to. And there's people that do it. And it's like we don't even want that promise to be fulfilled. But what's amazing about Jesus is that we're fortunate enough that Jesus is saying that he's coming back. Because if he just died, resurrected, and that was the end, it was kind of like there needs to be a little bit more to that, right? And so Jesus promises, look, I'm coming back to take you home. And to be honest with you, I don't think about that much. I don't really, do you guys think about that much? The fact that Jesus is literally coming back to take us home? I don't think about that much, you know? But I believe that if we focus a lot more on the fact that Jesus is coming back to take us home with him, we will have less stress, less worry, and more confidence and freedom because we have security in the fact that Jesus will fulfill this promise that he's coming back. And he might come back today. And he might come back when you're gone. We don't know. But what we do need to know is that it will happen. And so this morning, I'm not going to talk a lot about, you know, exactly when he's coming back because, as a matter of fact, the Christian world today focuses too much time on when he's coming back, right? They go through all these different things of like, all right, who remembers that 2012 prediction? I mean, they're making movies on this stuff. You know, it's just the world ending and all these different things. But in Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus literally says, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. All right, so Jesus literally says that no one knows. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. We don't know. Only the Father knows. And I remember this, when I was at William Patterson University in New Jersey, it was about 5 years ago when I first started reading the Bible and started to really, you know, read the Bible. I didn't even know what chapters, verses, I didn't know nothing. I was just reading and I was studying the Bible, trying to get to know God. And I had this one friend in my circle of friends on college. And there was this one dude that always talked about the Illuminati, right? Like the Illuminati and like, oh, the world's going to end. I mean, this dude, every day he talked about it. I mean, this dude was passionate about it. And he's talking about things like the 666 number, you know, the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, all this stuff. And I tell you what, I was convinced. I was shook, man. I was like, whoa, this dude crazy. But because he was so passionate, I was like, man, I kind of believe what this dude's saying. So then I remember just going back on my own and started researching this stuff. And I spent hours on YouTube, hours looking up articles on what is 666 and what is the mark of the beast and when's the end of the world, when is this Jesus coming back stuff. I mean, I got so consumed that 1 week we actually had a fire drill on campus at 2 a.m. every day from Monday to Thursday. We had a fire drill at 2 a.m. in the morning. And the first night when it happened, you know, I was dead asleep. No idea. And then the alarm went off. The fire alarm went off. And I literally was shook. I was like, yo, this is Jesus is coming back today. You know what I'm saying? I was not. And then I saw a light shining inside the dorm. And I'm like, yo, that's the light of the angel. You know? And then my roommate's like, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yo, Jesus is coming back. And then, you know, one of the RAs came in and was like, yeah, there's a fire drill. You guys have to get out. You know? I was like, oh, snap. You know? And I was just like, man, I ain't ready. I just started reading the Bible. You know, this is. So it was wild. And so it happened for a couple days back to back. And I was just shook. And then I went back the next day, looked up some more stuff online. Because I'm like, was that the day that was predicted? I don't know. I just had some more stuff. And it was crazy that when you type things on Google and YouTube, you don't know what you're going to get. Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to play this clip real quick.
We shall be changed in a moment and a twinkling of the eye. Get ready. Get ready. The Lord is coming soon. And it'll be faster than this. You heard me now. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Oh, thank you, Lord.
I mean, that's the type of stuff you end up seeing online, you know. I was just like, whoa, what is going on? Woo! You know, but it's just wild out there, you know. That's why just holding on to Jesus' words is just what's best, you know. But I got so consumed with that stuff. But it was, as crazy as that video was, as crazy as that editing job was, I mean, the woman just disappeared. And then it sounded like she was in the spiritual realm talking because her voice was like, oh, crazy. So anyways, I mean, as crazy as that video was, she ain't lying. Right? As crazy as it was, she ain't lying that the Lord is coming soon. That's what the Bible says, right? And I want us to read some passages here on the fact that, you know, what does that mean for us as disciples? We're going to read a lot of scriptures. And I believe that you guys want to hear that because that's why we're here, because of the Bible. And so we're going to start off in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. We'll start there, and we're going to read about what the Bible says about this. And I want us to pay close attention because these passages really put together what Jesus is promising. So 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. It says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who fall asleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the Lord, to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive are left, and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Chapter 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the darkness, to the night, or to the darkness. So then, let us not become like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and for those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on the faith and love as a breastplate, and hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. 2 Peter 3, verse 8 to 18. Let's go there. 2 Peter 3, verse 8 to 18. It says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people are you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. The day will bring about the destructions of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do to other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. These are some really amazing passages, aren't they? I mean, I remember just reading them over and over. I was going through this lesson. I just worshiped God. I just felt so overwhelmed by the fact that all this is going to happen and my heart is secure in God. It's such a powerful passage. But what the scripture is telling us is that Jesus, he's not going to come back the same way he first came. He's not going to come back in a manger in a small town in Nazareth. You know, when he comes back, he's going to come back with thousands of angels sounding trumpets, descending from heaven, riding on the clouds. And he's going to bring salvation for his people. The dead will rise to join the living. All eyes on heaven and on earth will be on Jesus. We will see him demolish Satan right before our eyes. Every knee, every creature will bow down to Jesus and declare that Jesus is Lord. We will rejoice as disciples because our names will be written in the book of life. It's going to be an amazing day. And it can happen at any moment. But when it does happen on that day, nothing else in this world is going to matter more. There's no issue, no worry. There's nothing that you're going through in your life that's going to matter more when we see Jesus on that day. And that's why Peter's saying we have to make every effort to be found spotless and blameless. And grasping that reality, it is completely life-changing. It's comforting and compelling at the same time. And when you think about the book of Acts, let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. This was such a real reality for the first century disciples. In Acts chapter 1, verse 10, it says, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And so this is how the book of Acts starts out, is the fact that Jesus is coming back. And when you really think about it, this probably meant the next day for them. That makes sense? And so, because think about it, Jesus, he died, he resurrected, and that was only 3 days. And so that was very fresh for them. So they knew that, whoa, we got to get going because Jesus could come back today, right? He could come back tomorrow, you know, in their time, which meant any moment. And for a lot of disciples, I feel like that's what fueled them so much, was the cross, was the resurrection, and the fact that he's coming back at any moment. And that was something that fueled them so much. And that's why we look through the book of Acts. You can see that they had the love that they had, the conviction that they had, the drive that they had, because they knew that we have to save as many people as possible. We have to get rid of every sin that's hindering in our lives. We got to get rid of everything because Jesus can come back at any minute. And the church really believed that. But I think for us in 2018, going on to 2019, our tendency could be to think the opposite. And I think the reason why is because, well, it's already been 2,000 years since Jesus went. So it's probably not really going to happen then. You know, the longer that drags out, it can feel like, all right, it might not even happen, right? That makes sense? But what's crazy is that since it's been 2,000 years ago, today is actually even closer to Jesus coming back. I mean, every day is a percentage higher than it was yesterday of Jesus coming back. So it actually should be on our hearts just as much as the first century disciples had it on their hearts to see Jesus come back. And I wanted to share this story real quick to help understand this point, but I remember being in high school, my junior year in high school. And that's, you know, I had my license. It was great. You know, I had my mom's car. She let me use it all the time. I did whatever I want with it. And it was great. You know, I had my license. I was one more year away from going to college. And things were great. And so now my mom, she kind of started allowing me to trust me a lot more with the house and different things, right? And so there were times when she would go visit my aunt in Pennsylvania, and she would stay overnight sometimes, and she would let me know if she stays over and just, you know, take care of the house and those things. And so she did it for the first time, and I was like, party! You know what I'm saying? Like, I was excited. Like, my mom was leaving, you know, and so guess what I did? I planned this whole party at my house. And so I invited everybody, all my friends, high school, you know, and I said, hey, we're gonna have a big old party at my house. So everyone came over. So like 40 to 50 people came over. It's crazy. Like, and they found out the day of, and you know, and they were ready. They called everybody up. People I didn't even know was at my house. Like, it was crazy, you know, and usually when things like that happen, you don't know what's going to go down. Like, you see somebody you don't know walking in your house, it's like, what? But I just said, you know, we're going to have a party. I wasn't thinking. I was young, dumb. So I had all these people over, and, you know, having a party and everything. And so it's about about closer to like 11:30 p.m. And my mom calls me, right? She calls me. And I pick up my phone. I didn't know who it was yet. I was actually waiting for somebody to come so I could open the door in the front. Now I look at my phone. This is my mom calling. And I'm like, okay. Well, she told me she was staying the night over there, so it shouldn't be a problem. So I pick up the phone. And she's like, hey, son, you know, I decided not to stay at my aunt's house. I'm actually going to be there in about like 15 minutes. And I was like, duh! You know. Yo, that's crazy. So I was like, okay. All right, mom. You know, I tried to keep it cool. You know, all right, mom. And I'm like dying inside. But all right, mom. You know, cool. Well, I'll see you soon. She's like, everything okay? I'm like, you know, I lied. I was like, yeah, you know, everything's good. Soon as I hung up that phone, I turned around and said, everybody got to get out right now. My mom's coming home. You know, it was just wild. And so I went all around the house. I picked up every piece of trash, man. I washed the dishes. You know, ain't nobody helped me. They were just partying, you know. And I was just like, you know, I got to get this together or whatever. And I was like, all right, now I need everybody to go to the front of the house right now. Just so I had to pack over 40 people in the front of this patio in the front of my house. We were so squished in there. But everyone listened. Amen. So everyone came in. And so as everyone's coming through the back, I look through the window. And I see my mom pulling up, right? And so she's pulling up, right? And I'm like, all right, guys, just stay here. The minute she goes through the back into the garage, that's why I need all you guys to just bolt out the front door, right? So I had this plan of like having all of them come out the front door as my mom was coming through, right? And so there was a ton of cars outside, but the thing about my block, there was always parties going on Saturday night, so she probably didn't even think that they were, you know, at our house specifically, right? And it was really dark, you couldn't see anything. So anyways, my mom goes in the garage. And I'm kind of peeking through the back window to see when she goes through this gate, because we have this big picket fence, which is great because she couldn't see anybody from over the fence. So she comes through the fence, and I'm like, and then I run to the front, and I'm like, all right, everyone, go now, you know. And so everyone's just running. People are tumbling over each other. It's just crazy. Everyone's coming out the house, you know. And literally, as soon as my mom got inside, the last few people got out. Like, it was literally, I pulled it off. It was crazy, you know. It was just like, I couldn't believe it. And then I got, you know, my friends told me yesterday, yo, that was the best party ever, bro, you know. We ran away from your mom, yo, it was wild. You know, and it was crazy, man. But I remember seeing my mom and, you know, talking and stuff. And, man, when I had to tell my mom that, I thought I was going to get beaten. Because I felt like, man, I got to get this off my mind. But she good. She actually laughed about it. She couldn't believe I pulled it off. But yeah, I think with that story, it's the same as, what is God going to find you doing when he comes back? You know what? What is Jesus going to find when he comes back? Because, you know, sometimes I think people take things a little bit more seriously when there's not no more time left. And so Jesus is going to come back at any moment. What is he going to find? What is he going to find in your internet browser history? You know, what is he going to find in your relationships? Is he going to find bitterness? Is he going to find unforgiveness? You know, is he going to find idolatry? Will you care more about your money, your career, your status, more than you care about God? What is Jesus going to find in your life when he comes back? But I know for many of us, we're going to be prepared for that day when Jesus comes back. That when he comes back, he's going to see that you were faithful when times got hard. He's going to see that you were tempted by being in a non-Christian relationship, but you decided not to give in. That when health challenges are hard, when Jesus comes back, he's going to see that he's going to take away all your pain. And that you didn't leave God because of it. That you grew closer to God. That's what he's going to find when he comes back. And that when he comes back, he's going to find your faith stronger than it's ever been. No matter what you're going through in your life. For the faithful ones, for the disciples, this is going to be an amazing, glorious day. For those who don't know God, I want to encourage you. There's still hope. There's still hope for you to see Jesus confidently and to be with him forever. 2 Peter 3:9 says, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God doesn't want this day to be destruction for nobody. He wants this to be a glorious day for you. So we're gonna end off here in Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to just read about that final day when Jesus takes us home. Revelation 21. Starting in verse 1. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now amongst the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. This is one of my favorite parts. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things had passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magical arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Sulfur, this is the second death. Revelation 22, verse 6. The angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in the scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets, and with all who keep the words of the scroll. Worship God. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of the scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magical arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. I've warned everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of the scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in the scroll. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. What an amazing promise that we get to be part of. And I think what's amazing about even ending it with this is that somebody's about to inherit that promise. We have a baptism coming up right now. And guys, this is what it's all about. And what makes this baptism so amazing is the fact that, man, I almost cried when I found out this person was getting baptized. But you know what? I'm going to let them introduce her. Let that happen. But guys, we're going to have a new sister in Christ. Amen. So I'm going to let them come up and share.